The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby. Just how screwed will the Cowboys be if the fourth best receiver in the NFL, according to league executives, does not show up for training camp and then does not show up for the regular season? We're talking about CeeDee Lamb, of course. CeeDee, we just did it here at 8 o'clock. The ESPN top 10 receivers in the NFL, according to coaches, scouts, executives. CeeDee Lamb finished fourth in that poll behind Ja'Marr Chase at 3, Tyreek Hill at 2, and Justin Jefferson at 1. And when we've looked at these first two position groups as we kind of count down to Oxnard, which we will leave for next Wednesday. So first show will be Thursday.
Yep.
On the tennis courts.
On the tennis courts.
On the tennis courts, I believe.
As we know.
As it stands right now. But as we count this down and kind of do an inventory of the roster, I was fascinated to see how many resources they've poured into this position of receiver while simultaneously going super cheap in a lot of ways. What were you about to say, Sean?
No, I'm going to save it for a training camp preview.
Okay. So when you look at this, in terms of draft picks they've thrown at the position, there's 12 receivers on the roster right now. A lot of them have been undrafted free agents, but when you consider draft picks they gave up in trades for Cooks, the investment they made in Lamb, other guys that they picked here, the receiver group that they have right now, which we feel like is screwed, essentially, if CeeDee Lamb's not in it, they have thrown a 2020 first-round pick at it, a 2022 third-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and a seventh-round pick in 2023, and 2 sixth-round picks in 2024. So they've invested a lot of draft capital into a group that feels like there's not much behind it. And financially, they haven't invested much at all because they have not finished CeeDee Lamb's contract. Brandon Cooks feels like he's on a deal. Pop quiz, who is the fourth highest paid wide receiver on the Dallas Cowboys right now?
Well, I'm looking at the depth chart. I don't have their salary, so this may be cheating.
Michael Gallup, even though he's not on the roster.
Nope.
Jalen Brooks.
Nope.
Turpin.
Nope.
It's not Cooks.
Nope.
Tolbert.
Nope. Tyron Billy Johnson.
Wow.
Who is not going to make this roster, I would not guess. But
is
somebody
it a hyphenated last name? Billy Johnson?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Tyron Billy hyphen Johnson. Okay. LSU, played at Oklahoma State. He's bounced around practice squads for like 5 years. So he's been in the league for a certain amount of time that his minimum salary is higher than a lot of the guys there. But when you look behind that, Kevontae Turpin under $1 million, Jalen Brooks, Ryan Flournoy, their sixth round pick from this past year. So they haven't invested a ton financially yet. They haven't shown that they're willing to commit the resources in terms of salary, which is something they've shown pretty consistently, I feel like, over the last 20 years in Jerry's era. We've seen that they are willing to use draft capital either as a selection or as trade capital to get a receiver. They did it with Roy Williams, Joey Galloway, and Amari Cooper. They drafted CeeDee Lamb, Dez Bryant. Like, they'll take guys higher and also use those picks in order to go get receivers. But then when you look at it, they had a hard time paying Amari Cooper. You know, they walked away from Dez pretty quick. They never wanted to commit long-term to Cole Beasley. It was something that frustrated him. CeeDee Lamb is still trying to get paid. That one has felt like the entire time should be the easiest contract for them to get done because of the parameters that have been set by the rest of the league and how good that he's been. But if we enter training camp with CeeDee Lamb sitting out, is this, do you guys think, going to be similar to the Zach Martin situation last year where all I have to do is not show up and you're going to see over the course of 4 or 5 days, you're not going to be able to cut it if I'm not physically here?
But do you think that that's why Zach got done? Because they're evaluating the offensive line in the first 4 days?
I think that they may have been willing to stand off a little bit longer and have that face off with him a little bit and play that game of chicken if they felt more comfortable with what they were going to roll out there with.
Mm. You know, I mean, look, this is what Kansas City's been doing. And I know it's tough to compare because he's Patrick Mahomes. But, like, you know, they could just say, or the Cowboys won't say this, but, like, Kansas City can get away with not doing this. They can get away with Billy Johnson being their highest paid receiver.
Yeah, as long as they have fun doing it, as that made Bobby sick last night.
Dude, so the Chiefs, we're all sitting around here just going, please get us to a conference title game. It's been 30 years. Please get us to the conference championship. That's all we want. Meanwhile, you've got Patrick Mahomes talking to the media and different Chiefs players talking to the media and saying, yeah, look, we're eyeing that fourth title, but really we want to have more fun along the way. We want to laugh a little bit more.
Last year wasn't as fun.
We
want to take things a little slower, you know, and enjoy the sunshine a little bit. And so, I mean, they really do sound like the way Patrick Mahomes was talking about this season sounded like a 40-year-old women's group's vision board for the year of like things they want to do. Like, I just want to laugh a little bit more. I want to embrace the chaos a little bit and just learn to not care as much. So yeah, Patrick Mahomes said their focus this year is just having more fun. That's how many titles they've got and how bored they are with it now. Is just they want to have fun, you know.
And the Zach comparison question for me is, what got Zach done and how? Because at the Jerry party, I remember there was some very negative, strong negative things being said about the Zach Martin situation by Cowboy officials. A lot of loud talk, which went right into the damn ocean.
People tend to say some ugly things during negotiations that they then, after the deal is signed, are
1942 and Sprite will make you loose lips.
It will. If they see you doing that, they're going to be upset.
No, and I mean, that has cost them before. That is their approach in a lot of ways. Is what they do is when they get into contract negotiations, they have a tendency to
could counter back and say Lamb's the one holding this up by saying you have to pay me more than Jefferson.
I don't think he's.
We can absolutely say that.
You have to pay me Jefferson or more than Jefferson.
It's possible.
I don't think he's saying that though.
Are you reporting that or are you guessing?
I don't believe he's saying that from people I've talked to. Okay. I think he...
What do you think he's saying?
I think he's asking for between 32 and 34, and Jefferson's at 35 and a half. I think he's saying you absolutely...
Well, then they should pay it.
I think he said... Because A.J. Brown's 32. I think he's saying you have to pay me more than A.J. Brown, minimum. Yeah. I've got to be A.J. Brown or higher.
Why would they hesitate on that?
Why have they hesitated on so many different deals over the years?
I can justify the first Dak deal waiting. They might still be waiting to figure out what he is. Who else did they wait
DeMarcus on? Lawrence. They cost themselves a ton of money.
Okay. Who else?
They waited on Amari Cooper. They let him get exposed to the market. They like have a history. The deals they get done early.
I'm not disagreeing that they wait. I was just trying to think of the situations.
The deals they get done early a lot of times are bad ones. Like, they got Zeke done early. They got Jalen Smith done early. And those ones kind of backfired on them.
Yeah.
And so that's where you're running into a situation where
all right, grade the running back room right now. Give me a letter grade.
Oh, A plus. I'm not paying anything to it.
In terms of quality or efficiency? Because he's clearly going by the ability, it's a C minus at best.
D plus.
Grade the wide receiver room without Lamb.
Oh,
C plus.
Okay.
Because Cooks is still really good, I think.
Okay.
Cooks is better than...
So basically the same for you.
Cooks is better than anything you have in the running back room relative to their position.
Yeah.
And so, and I really... That's one of the things that I'll be looking out here for at training camp. Jalen is going to...
What are you looking at, Barnwell? I know what you...
Jalen is going to win the third receiver spot, and it's not going to be Jalen Tolbert. It's going to be Jalen Brooks.
Are you not a fan?
No. Just talk about what Bill Barnwell wrote about him.
So they rank...
I'm slowly... I've become less interested in what Barnwell writes over like the past 3 to 6 months. Before I was like, oh, this is new. This is a different angle. Da da da.
And well, he does recycle the same, like, he does the same kind of articles every year, based at the same time.
Yeah.
I think they're really good. But this is the write up on Brandon Cooks because they had the Cowboys ranked as the 18th best wide receiver, tight end, running back core in the NFL.
Mm hmm.
And he said Cooks has fallen off noticeably over the past two seasons. After averaging north of 2 yards per route run in each of his first 2 years with the Texans, he went to 1.7 in 2022 and then 1.3 last year in Dallas. His saving grace was a plus 8.2% catch rate over expectation, which might owe more to Prescott than Cooks, given that Lamb was plus 10 and Tolbert was north of 7. So that's just a write-up on Brandon Cooks.
Here, let's be honest here. Bill Barnwell has not watched 1 second of Brandon Cooks' tape.
I don't consider Bill an analytics guy, though. Do you?
I do. I think
Seth Walter would be his analytics guy.
He's not. He's a pseudo analytics guy. Like he's kind of on the outside trying to get into the club.
So like I pretend to be.
I think you have a better grasp on analytics than Bill Barnwell does. And Bill Barnwell is trying to apply it in a pace to 32 teams. There's zero chance with what he's asked to do in cover that he watched Brandon Cooks tape last year. Brandon Cooks was not being sent on routes down the field like he's had a lot of success with. They were basically running him in short and intermediate routes, and he was still getting open. He just wasn't getting the ball. He's in an offense with CeeDee Lamb where the targets are just not going to be there. But Cooks is absolutely, the tape is, he's still a really effective receiver.
Do you, and I don't know enough about this, do you look at yards per route run? Like, how do you use that?
No,
stat?
Because I think that yards per route run, again, it can skew because CeeDee Lamb is on the field with Brandon Cooks. And they're both running routes, and if CeeDee Lamb's getting targeted, then he's not going to get the same look. He's not going to get the
targets. I don't know how to look at that. I don't really know how to use the stat.
Yards per target and other things, I think, are better at measuring the efficiency. But I think Jalen Brooks is ultimately going to be the third receiver here, the seventh rounder out of South Carolina last year. He is, and that is both a praise of Jalen Brooks, who's been really impressive, I think, during the offseason programs, and it is an absolute damning indictment of Jalen Tolbert, who I have been dead wrong about. I wanted him picked in the second round instead of Sam Williams, was thrilled they got him in the third, and he is just not
imagine
stepped
if
up.
Cooks wasn't here, or if something happens to Cooks.
Oh, I know.
Your depth chart. This thing has on paper.
Oh, it's got
this thing has an 8-9 possibility.
Oh, I look,
and maybe worse.
I still think that they're a good bet to win, you know, 10+, but I could easily see how this thing falls.
It feels like a house of cards.
Oh, yeah. That's a good way to put it. If they win 12 games, I'm not going to bat an eye. If they win 7, not surprised.
Yeah, I think
I'm not. Will Chambers over here.
What's that?
Thinks that San Fran's going to win 8 games this year.
Oh.
But
he thinks Brandon Ayuk is that good.
I guess so. That's a Bears fan for you. He watches a lot of bad football, so he doesn't know what he's looking at, I guess. David Durden is the name to watch during training camp, though. That was a guy who was going to make the 53-man roster last year before he got hurt.
Tyler's brother.
Yeah, that's the one. Tyler's brother. Yeah, you got
below
it.
The belt every day at this time on your home of America's team. We got a little college football kegger with SEC Media Days in town. Horns Down is back. And the 13-year-old that RJ Choppy wants to punch right in the mouth. Final hour, hump day edition.
Hump day.
After this.